From Tidbits on October 29th, 2012, this is Apple releases new iMac, 13-inch MacBook Pro, and Mac Mini, written by Adam Siangst. At its special media event last week, Apple led up to the introduction of the iPad Mini and the fourth-generation iPad with not one, not two, but three new Mac models. The iMac received a new industrial design, a new 13-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display entered the product line, and the Mac Mini received a CPU upgrade. Interestingly, Apple's Senior Vice President of Worldwide Marketing, Phil Schiller, claimed that the iMac is the best-selling desktop computer in the United States. Even more impressive, he said that the 13-inch MacBook Pro was both the best-selling notebook in the country and the top-selling Mac overall. That fascinates me, since although I've always liked the 13-inch form factor and the 12-inch PowerBook before that, Apple has always seemed to put more emphasis on the 15-inch models. New iMac gets thinner. With the iMac, Schiller made a big fuss about how amazingly thin it is, tapering to only 5 millimeters at the edges and dropping in weight as well. Not surprisingly, that thin edge leaves no room for an optical drive. A USB SuperDrive is available separately, and although there is an SD card slot, it is now located in the back of the iMac, next to the other ports, where it will be rather difficult to access. The iMac continues to be available in 21.5 and 27-inch models, and the screen resolutions have not changed from the previous generation's 1920 by 1080 and 2560 by 1440 pixel counts. But they should look better, since Apple has now laminated the screen to the front glass, eliminating a thin air gap, and has used a plasma deposition process to put an anti-reflective coating on the display that reportedly reduces reflection by 75%. Those who have bemoaned Apple's focus on glossy displays will undoubtedly appreciate this change. Topping it off, Schiller said that each display is individually calibrated coming off the manufacturing line. Performance should be good, although not necessarily that much better than previous models, with a range of quad-core Intel Core i5 and i7s, process speeds depending on the model and build-to-order choice, 8GB of RAM by default, and support for up to either 16GB in the 21.5-inch model, or only at order time, or 32GB for the 27-inch model via 4 user-accessible DIMM slots. Storage also varies by model, with a smaller iMac coming with either a relatively slow 5400 RPM 1TB drive or a 1TB Fusion drive. More on that in a moment. Whereas the larger iMac offers a 7200 RPM 1TB hard drive, a 3TB hard drive, 768GB of flash storage, or a 1TB or 3TB Fusion drive. The Fusion drive sounds quite neat. It combines 128GB of flash storage with a 1TB or 3TB hard drive. OS X 10.8 Mountain Lion and Apple's default apps live on the flash portion of the Fusion drive by default, and Apple claims that Mountain Lion intelligently moves frequently used applications and documents to the flash portion of the drive. Hybrid drives of this sort aren't new, but the Fusion drive boasts much more flash storage, 128GB versus 16 or 32GB, and custom support at the operating system level. Apple claimed that while the flash storage is normally nearly 4 times faster than a hard drive, the Fusion drive is only slightly slower than flash-only storage. How much more a Fusion drive will cost isn't yet known, but presumably it will be between a normal hard drive and flash storage. Other features include dual microphones and better stereo speakers, a FaceTime HD camera, headphone jack, SD card slot, 4 USB 3 ports, 2 Thunderbolt ports, and a gigabit Ethernet jack. Wireless connectivity remains stable with 802.11n Wi-Fi and Bluetooth 4.0. Graphics are provided by a range of NVIDIA GeForce GT graphics processors, starting with the 640M or 650M with 512MB of GDDR5 memory in the smaller iMac, and going to the 660M with the 512MB memory or the 675MX with 1GB of memory in the larger model, with a 680MX with 2GB of memory as an option. The price range remains essentially the same, with the entry-level 21.5-inch Mac starting at $1,299 and the high-end 27-inch iMac at $1,999. It's unclear how the build-to-order options will affect the final prices, because these iMacs aren't yet available and thus can't be configured in the online Apple Store. The 21.5-inch model will ship in November 2012, Apple says, to be followed by the 27-inch model in December. As is often the case when Apple replaces a Mac model, it's hard to say anything bad about the new iMacs. Missing in the update is the SuperDrive, further obsoleting optical media across the Mac line. As a result, the SD card slot is positioned awkwardly in the back near the rest of the ports, and the RAM in the 21.5-inch model is no longer user-accessible. Otherwise, they look great, should have excellent performance, and cost basically the same as before. I can't get as excited as Phil Schiller did about how thin and light the new models are, given that they'll just sit quietly on your desk, We're not talking about a MacBook Air here. New 13-inch MacBook Pro adds Retina display. While a thinner, lighter design for the new iMac models might not be that much of a big deal, it's much more interesting when Apple does that for a laptop. The new 13-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display not only adds a 13.3-inch Retina display running at 2560 by 1600 resolution. That's more pixels than the 27-inch iMac. It drops from the 0.95 inches to 0.75 inches thick, loses about a centimeter of width and depth, and most importantly, slims down from 4.5 pounds to 3.57 pounds. The image below, image in the article shows the, both the 13-inch and 15-inch MacBook Pro with Retina displays next to each other. The drop in weight is most likely due to eliminating the SuperDrive, also missing from the new 13-inch MacBook Pro are Gigabit Ethernet and FireWire, both of which can be added back with optional Thunderbolt adapters. Speaking of which, it has two Thunderbolt ports, two USB 3.0 ports, an HDMI port, an SDXC card slot, and a MagSafe 2 power jack. 802.11n Wi-Fi and Bluetooth 4.0 are standard. It has a beefier battery, 74 watt-hour, up from 63.5 watt-hour, to power all those pixels, but Apple still claims the same up to 7 hours wireless web battery life. On the performance side, you have the choice of a 2.5 GHz dual-core Intel Core i5 or a 2.9 GHz dual-core Intel Core i7, both with 8 GB of RAM. Although the online Apple Store implies there are two models, the only difference is the base amount of flash storage, 128GB or 256GB. You can also choose 512GB or 768GB of flash storage for a lot more money, but the Fusion Drive from the new iMac is not an option. Graphics are courtesy of an Intel HD Graphics 4000, the same integrated graphics chip used by all other MacBooks, although the 15-inch models add discrete NVIDIA GeForce GT650M processors. The real question is how this new 13-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display stacks up against both the old 13-inch MacBook Pro, which remains available, and the 13-inch MacBook Air, which is thinner and lighter, but slower and somewhat less customizable. The new model starts at a $500 price premium over the others. I would also encourage those who are interested in one to look at the screen side by side with one of the less expensive 13-inch MacBooks, since that's the most significant difference, and you'll want to make sure it's worthwhile. The new 13-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display starts at $1,699, and is available immediately. Mac Mini gains i7 CPU option. Last and definitely least, Apple upgraded the Mac Mini with new CPUs, swapping the base 2.3 and 2.5 GHz dual-core Intel Core i5 CPUs, with an option for a 2.7 GHz dual-core Intel Core i7, for a 2.5 GHz dual-core i5 and a 2.3 GHz quad-core i7 at the base level, and offering a 2.6 GHz quad-core i7 as an option. Apple claims these new CPUs are up to twice as fast, and their integrated Intel HD Graphics 4000 processors are also up to 65% faster than the previous Intel HD Graphics 3000 processors. The main other change I can find is that the iMac Mini now comes with 4 GB of RAM across the line and can be upgraded to 16 GB, up from a previous max of 8 GB. The $599 model comes with a 500 GB hard drive, and its only option is for more RAM. In contrast, the $799 model comes with a 1 TB hard drive and offers options of more RAM, the 2.6 GHz quad-core i7 processor, a 1 TB Fusion drive, and 256 GB solid-state drive. The new configurations are available immediately. As with the previous generation, the Mac Mini lacks a SuperDrive, leaving only the 13-inch and 15-inch MacBook Pro and the Mac Pro with internal SuperDrives. A burgeoning product line. We've come a long way since Steve Jobs hacked and slashed at Apple's Mac line until there was a simple 2x2 matrix of consumer, iBook and iMac, and professional, PowerBook and PowerMac models. Apple now sells 10 different Mac models, and keeping them straight is becoming increasingly difficult. While writing this article, I found myself looking at the wrong specs several times, and even Apple now feels the need to provide comparison pages. There are two ways to look at this trend toward a larger product line. The glass-half-full camp would say that it is evidence of Apple's increasing share of the market and overall position. As Apple attracts more users, it becomes more important to offer slightly different models to fit the needs of people who would otherwise turn away from a single model in any given category. That's especially true in the laptop world, where most sales are these days, and where Apple now sells 6 different models. The glass-half-empty people would warn the exact reason that Steve Jobs pared down the product line remains true: customer confusion. Apple has always prided itself on simplicity, but when 3 out of 10 models are 13-inch laptops, customers are being asked to make increasingly fine-grained decisions. Plus, even for a company as large and powerful as Apple's become, maintaining focus on all these different products is difficult. Witness the delayed ship dates for the new iMac models. Realistically, I don't see the increasingly large product line causing significant problems for Apple in the near future. I mention it more as something to keep an eye on, because if the Mac product line were to jump to 50 models, that might be an indication that the company was losing its way. For now, we can just enjoy the fruits of Apple's continually excellent hardware design. This is Tidbits, sponsored in part this week by Barebones, CrashPlan, Smile, Intego, and ScanSnap. To follow links, make comments, read related articles, subscribe to our podcast, and get updates via email, RSS, Twitter, Facebook, and our iOS app, visit us at Tidbits.com. I'm Adam Angst, and these new Macs are pretty interesting, although I'm actually pretty happy with the new 13-inch MacBook Air I just got, so I'm not feeling too bad about missing the Retina display MacBook Pro.